entry of Christ coming into Jerusalem. Next Sunday, we're going to look at that triumphant entry, and so be sure to be here. And then there's an undetermined amount of time between the triumphal entry and the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, which the 70th week of Daniel then begins at the beginning of the tribulation. After the rapture has occurred and the Antichrist is announced, the 70th week of Daniel begins. But it ended, the 69 weeks ended at the triumphant entry of Christ. Before next Sunday, though, we want to look here at Numbers chapter 21. Here in Numbers chapter 21, we find the Word of God saying this. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. And when... do I have the right one here? Numbers 21, yes. And when the king Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in... south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then they fought against Israel and took... Do I have the right text here? Fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners, and Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hamath. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So Edom is the descendants of Esau. Verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light of bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Oh, may the Lord grant blessings upon his word today. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for your word, for how powerful it is. Father, draw us closer to thee as we look at your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They just came from the land of Edom, which is the descendants of Esau. And we want to look, first of all, at the rebellion of Israel. The Bible shares with us here, beginning at verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The trip was hard. The land was hard to live in, desert. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die? We're just coming to the desert to die. We're going to die here in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. No bread, no water. It kind of has, when you look at light bread, it kind of has the conception of edible substance. It's not just bread, but edible substance. In other words, they hated what God was giving them, the blessings that were there, the manna, the quail. They loathed it. They hated it. They rebelled against God. And basically, they threw a temper tantrum. They were angry at God. They were disappointed in the land. They were disappointed in what was going on. They were disappointed. Hey, why did you bring us into this wilderness to die? Well, we came out of Egypt, and they forgot all about Egypt. They forgot all about the struggles and the trials. And here they are, full of hatred. They loathed the food that they had to eat. They weren't glad for it. They weren't thankful for it. They just rebelled against God. They chose to ignore the blessings and count the blessings. Instead, they looked at the discouragement and the hatred and the heat and the desert and lack of water and the food wasn't good, and they complained about it. You know, they were like infants rebelling, throwing a temper tantrum. This last week, I had the opportunity, and I was so surprised. This really surprised me. How many of you heard of gun smoke? Have you heard of the gun smoke? Yeah, some of you have. And it's still, you can still see it and watch it on certain channels. And this particular gun smoke was a quiet evening. A quiet evening. But it was nothing but quiet. I mean, it started off with a little boy with a grandmother or an older lady holding his ear, bringing him to the marshal, to the sheriff, and saying, he just stole the pie of mine and gave it to the birds and ate part of it himself. And I want you to throw him in prison because he's going to end up being a thief his whole life. Just throw him in jail and throw away the key. And so he's got this young lad, and he ends up passing him on to someone else because he needs to get some sleep. He just arrested a guy, spent all night coming into Dodge, and so he was tired, and he was trying to get some sleep. And this young man, he just caused such headache, sorrow. He threw an older lady in a safe and locked the door, and even caught a guy's pants on fire because he was trying to watch him, and he ended up lighting a piece of paper that was in his pocket, and I mean, just causing such dread and sorrow. And this young lad, whenever you talk to him, he would just stick his tongue out and be rebellious. And so finally he got this young man in the prison cell because of all the problems he started, and he said, I'm going to take a nap. And he took a glass, a metal glass, and just rung it over the bars to keep him awake the whole time. So Matt Dillon comes in, and he does exactly what he should have done. He gave him a spanking. He spanked him. And so then the parents come in, and they have this cart pulled by a horse and buggy, and they had 7 or 8 children in there, just sticking their tongue out in rebellion and doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And dad comes up and said, I lost one of my boys. You know, we were 10 miles out of town before we finally figured out that we didn't have him. And so he came into town, and that young lad comes out of prison, and he looks at the marshal, and he says, thank you, sir. And his dad looks at him and said, boy, I've never heard him hear say that before. And the young lad jumps up in the cart, and his dad says something, and he says, yes, sir. They go, whoa, man, I've never seen him so obedient and so respectful. And so Matt Dillon says, well, all I did was apply a belt to the seat of knowledge. And he, you know, learned what was wrong and what was right. And his dad's eyes get really big, and he said, you just gave him a spanking, and that happened? He said, yep. So dad lines up all the children outside of them, and he applies a belt to their seat of knowledge. You don't see that anymore. People say, oh, you shouldn't warp their personality. No, God's word says, do not forsake the obedient and disciplining your children. And that's the problem we see in the world today. Parents did not discipline their children, and so now the police officer has to do it. And when he goes to do it, everybody thinks, oh, the world's against me, and this isn't right, and the world is rebelling against it all. Wow. And so what does God do? God disciplines Israel. He does exactly what he needs to do. He needed to get Israel's attention. First of all, the rebellion of Israel. Secondly, the response of God. Look at what he does. It says here in the Word of God, verse 6, it says this, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What a way to get a hold of their attention. I am God, and you are to listen to me. Look at all the things that I've done for you, but yet you've rebelled. You're throwing a temper tantrum, and I'm going to get your attention. These fiery serpents, they're also seen in Deuteronomy 8:15, which says this, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. And then in Isaiah 14:29 it says, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. Some people think that these serpents were able to fly. And then also in Isaiah 30, verse 6, it says, the viper and fiery flying serpents. Now, when you think about these fiery serpents, the word fiery, they think, is possibly from the bite, that it feels fiery, it's hot, and it's damaging, and it brings death. But then also when you talk about flying serpents, some believe that the pictures of Egypt have those cobra. And the cobra has, when they flare up, it looks like wings on the side of their neck. When their neck flares up, it looks like wings. And so some people believe that it was from the pictures in the land of Egypt and these fiery serpents that had wings. And they just put the idea that they're able to fly. Fiery, possibly also because of these snakes are able to spit venom in one's eyes and causing fiery pain in the eyeballs. And so when you look at these fiery serpents, it's possible that they were king cobras, able to spit, and shares with us here, spitting fire in some places and referring to the fact of these snakes. So I don't think they could fly, but rather that they were fiery and they appeared to have wings and able to strike quickly and cause pain and fiery pain in eyes as well as in the bite. And so God got a hold of their attention. He got a hold of their intention in such a way that because of the bite of these serpents, many of the people died. Well, we know in the Word of God, it shares with us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we die three different ways. The word death means separation. And when you think about separation and death, you think about, first of all, physical separation, that because of sin, we physically die. We also die spiritually. Because of our sin, we have no hope. We have no hope. Because of our sin, the Bible shares with us that we're separated from God. We're bound by our sin. We're slaves to our sin. So not only physical death, but spiritual death. And then last of all, eternity in hell, separated from God forever and ever. Physical death, spiritual death, and then our existence in hell, separated from God forever and ever. We die three different ways. Hence, we get the picture that if you're born only once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. That's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have Israel, their rebellion. Their rebellion against God. We loathe this food. We're not appreciative of what you have given me. Oh, so often this world today rebels against God. I'm not happy with what you've given to me. I'm not happy the way my life is going. But God has a plan. He has a will. He has a direction for each one of us. And here Israel is rebelling against God, the promises of God, and the hope that they have. They rebelled against that and ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And then we have the response of God. He disciplined them as a parent would do a toddler when he does something wrong. But not only do we want to look at the rebellion of Israel, secondly, the response of God. But let's also look at the remorse of Israel. Because of these fiery serpents and those who were bitten, and many of them had died, it says in verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Oh, to hear somebody in the world today see their sin the way God sees sin. To say, yep, I've sinned. I am born a sinner. You probably heard of the young lad who was asked, have you ever sinned? And they say, no, I'm not a sinner. Me? Not me. I've never murdered anybody. But yet the Word of God shares with us, for all have sinned. I heard a great preacher one day say, all means all, and that's all that all means. Because of our sin, the Bible says, all of us are sinners. We're born in sin, and death is a result. So here they say, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. We've rebelled against him. We're not thankful, and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So here they are praying. Many of them are dying. Some are in the process of death and pain and anguish from that fiery bite and the venom that had entered their physical body. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. So not only the rebellion of Israel, secondly, the response of God, but then also the remorse of Israel, and finally, the remedy for sin. It shares with us here in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. Fiery is kind of a trick of words dealing with the brass serpent. And set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. And some people think that this serpent of brass, they laid it upon a pole. So they put the pole in the ground. I got an illustration right here. They put the pole in the ground. People say that they laid the serpent upon it. So the serpent of brass was so long, and it kind of looked like flames. It was kind of like this, and then they stuck it on the top so that it appeared as though it was a cross. Some people believe that. But we also know that some have put it so it's coiled around the pole. But whichever way you think, we don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us, but it says it set it upon the pole. It did say that it was wrapped upon it. So however you want to look at it, there it is. We got this serpent, and it's upon a pole. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So in other words, what they had to do was, in their tent, they would have to crawl to the door of their tent, open up the door to their tent, and look out on that mountaintop at that pole with a serpent upon it. And if they looked by faith, believing that they would be healed, God would save their lives. So many of them looked, and their lives were spared. In verse 10, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. So they left. They were healed. Those who looked upon that pole, their lives were spared. What a beautiful picture. Israel, their rebellion against God. And oh, how we have rebelled against God. How we have turned our back upon him in the world today, choosing to rebel. The response of God was to discipline Israel, to get their attention. The remorse of Israel saw their sin the way God sees their sin. And last of all, the remedy for sin. But the story doesn't end there. It picks up again in John chapter 3. So open your Bibles to John. John chapter 3. Because here in John chapter 3, we have a well-known story. His name is Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was very wealthy, possibly wore purple. He was a man who was, the Word of God shares with us, tells us in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. So he was a Pharisee, and you've heard my statement before that Pharisees are not very fair, you see, because they got all these rules and stringent rules. Kind of reminds you of Israel, doesn't it? And how Israel rebelled against God. Oh, we loathe this food that you give to me. This isn't good enough for us. This isn't good enough for me. Kind of like the Pharisee saying, hey, you know, look at all these stringent rules that we need to follow. We got to do all kinds of good deeds. So Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So we know Nicodemus. He's coming to Jesus to speak to him because he had a question in his heart. And I believe the question in his heart was,
How are you born again? How can you know that when your eyes close in death, they will open again in the presence of God? How can I know? Because see, I think Nicodemus was trusting in his own works. But you see, works isn't going to get you to heaven. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not my works. Nicodemus really believed that salvation was a goal to attain, something that he could work toward, something that as long as he does those good deeds that outweigh the bad, hey, they'll make it to heaven. But Nicodemus was wrong. And Jesus shares with Nicodemus a number of different ways how one can be born again. In fact, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, listen to this. Listen up. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus said, well, wait a second. How can I be reborn again? How can I enter my mother's womb again and be born? But you see, Jesus was talking about spiritual birth. You are born physically, but now you need to be born from above. You need to be born of God. You need to repent of your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He's mine. He's not somebody else's. And he could be yours too. I need to trust in him personally. The Word of God also goes on to share with us in verse, let's look at it, that thou which is born of the flesh is flesh. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then he talks about the wind and how the wind blows. And as the wind blows, you can see what it does, but you cannot see the wind. Just as you can see what the Holy Spirit does within. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the change. And you know, you've heard the statement that we need to work out what God in his grace has worked in. Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus that once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit's going to come and indwell within you. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the change that occurs. That once you're born again, once you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life is changed. It will be different because of your love for the Savior. Then listen to this next illustration. Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. For or if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He's sharing with him who he is, that he is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. And as Moses. He's the one that we started off with today. Remember Moses? He lived during that time when Israel rebelled against God, wasn't happy about the food. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus just how he was going to die. He said to Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus was hearing Jesus say that he was going to die on the cross of Calvary. Just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and all those people there in the desert who had been bitten by that snake, who were about to die, if they were to crawl to the door of their tent, and open up that door to their tent and physically look at that serpent on the pole, they shall live. And Jesus Christ was sharing with Nicodemus that all those people, past, present, and future, if they were to open the door to their heart and look upon the cross of Calvary, they shall be saved. That is what Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus. That story of Moses lifting up that serpent was a picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do on the cross. That he was going to die for the sins of the world. Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Moses, leading the children of Israel, the rebellion of Israel, the response of God, the remorse of Israel, and last of all, the remedy of sin. It was a picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do on Calvary that we might have eternal life. We're going to look at Easter coming up. And you know, it's so powerful to realize the reason why we worship on Sunday is because that's the day that Jesus Christ arose. He conquered the grave. He conquered death that we might have life. If you're here today without Christ, maybe you're like Israel, rebellion against God, not thankful for what God has done and given to you, rebelling against him in your sin, lost, condemned, and headed for hell. My plea for you is this, that you look to the cross. You look to the cross. Just as Israel looked in the wilderness at that brass serpent on the hill, by faith, their physical body was healed. What a beautiful picture of the cross of Calvary, that we might be saved, redeemed, set free, purchased from the slave market of sin. We're no longer lost in our sin. We're set free, redeemed, justified, that we might spend eternity with him in heaven. Death is so powerful. Three different ways: physical, spiritual, and eternal. Eternity in hell, separated from God, all because of sin, all because of Adam, chose to partake of a fruit that God told him not to. All men are bound, lost, condemned, and headed for hell. But Christ, our Redeemer, has set us free that we might have eternal life. Look to the cross of Calvary. Don't turn from him. Trust him today. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning and for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, as we look at that story in the Old Testament, as Israel rebelled, just like a little toddler who needed to be disciplined, oh, we can see the picture of the fact that we're all sinners. We all rebel. We all throw a temper tantrum. Sometimes we throw that temper tantrum thinking that you are unfair. But, oh, Father, we thank you for discipline. We thank you for coming into our lives and helping us to see our sin the way you see our sin. Father, I pray that you'll work in hearts today in ways that I can't. I cannot save a soul, but you can. And, Father, I pray that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in hearts that do not know Christ. Work in hearts who've never turned to the cross, who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Use this message in a powerful way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn, Kevin. What's the number? You got one? No.
162. Please stand when you get there. Oh, that's pretty. Lord, I'm coming home. We'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. Unless somebody comes up and prays, we'll take longer if we need. If y'all want to talk, this is open up here. If you want to talk to God or me or Pastor. There we go.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, never more to roam. Open by thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Verse 2. I've wandered many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
On the last,
my soul is sick. My heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. If y'all would bow your hair, I'll dismiss us in prayer. Bow your head. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the message, Sunday school and church. Father, we just thank you so much for all the blessings you've given to us. Please guide us and direct us through the next week. Bring us back tonight, but guide us and direct us through the next week that we can spot out the ones that you're convicting in their heart, Father. We can help lead them to you and the saving knowledge of your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.